Okay, our next talk is on lead sorption and desorption in oxazoles from Paraná, Brazil by Antonio Costa. Or is it Costa? Costa. Costa. Okay. Yes,
sir. Hey, Sabine.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You told me. All right. It's very nice to be here after a couple of years and to present some of my students' papers. This is our master degree papers. This is Frederico, first paper on lead sorption and desorption in oxazoles from Paraná, Brazil. Lead is a point source of pollution for us in Brazil. We have two situations, mining. We have a very large area in this city, Adrianópolis, where we have a huge pollution with the mining for lead. And a small business that recycle not properly sulfuric acid from batteries. So this is all over the state. So tropical soils react differently with the lead with the different compartments in the solid phase, mostly related to the organic matter, as it complex the iron, aluminum, and silicon poorly crystalline oxides, even though some mineralogy might affect it too. And when you say mineralogy, kaolinite, T221 clay minerals, and the iron aluminum oxides will play their role with lead. So lead may form inner sphere complex, bidentate or monodentate, with the surface of iron oxides, aluminum oxides, and outer sphere complex too. But when we talk about our soils, I tried to change this one, but I couldn't do it in the proper way. So that's why I'm jumping some slides over here. But most of our soils are really aggregated. In the inner part, we may see organic matter associated to the iron and aluminum oxides and surrounded by the silicates phase. So which one is the one playing the role for the lead sorption? We still have to work on that. So we sampled six oxazoles in our state. We did a very good basic soil chemical and physical characterization. And Frederico did a lot of work on the mineralogical part of the clay fraction, especially for the poor crystalline and crystalline minerals. We did run two types of sorption experiments. One we call that remaining lead. We apply only one dose. It's 250 ppm. Doses, apply it to the fine earth of the soil, shake it for 4 hours, leave it there for 20, separate the soil from the solution and measure the remaining lead. And we did also run isotherms in batch experiments using to determine by the Langmuir isotherm lead maximum distortion capacity. Besides that, remaining lead determination, we did some desorption experiment in the same vials using calcium chloride solution and what we think is mostly related to outer sphere complex and the Mellish-1 solution that we think are mostly related to inner sphere complex or complex associated between iron and organic matter. Oxazoles are representative of 80% in the country. We are right here in this line, 24 degrees south latitude soils. Paraná is right here. The state of Paraná, we sampled six sites. This green area is from basalts, and the other area, the number profiles number 2, 6, and 3, are from sedimentary areas within the state. So here are some results. The soils, unfortunately, it's not what I wanted. All right, we have between 10% clay to 61% clay, silt fraction between 6%, almost 30, clay fraction between 28 to over 80% somewhere over here, 80% in Prudentópolis. So it's a very wide range in physical characterization of the soils. And chemistry is quite different too. So we have soils with pH very acid, like 4.3 here to up to 6.8. This is in water. KCl will follow the same trend. Delta pH will range from minus 0.2 to 1.8 negative, so it's a pretty much negative surface charge. Point of zero charge ranges from 2.4 to 5.5. Cation exchange capacity will range from 4.7 to 15, almost 16. And these soils, they are very high, the base saturation ranges a lot too, like 2% to over almost 90%. In the opposite trend, you have 95% of aluminum saturation, and here almost no aluminum within the soils, exchangeable aluminum. Carbon content will range from 3% to 0.7. So 0.2, here we go. We have a very wide range in chemistry, and besides chemistry, the clay fraction in the soils. Here's some of the data. This is DCB. This is total iron. This is DCB. This is oxalate for the total, for the free iron oxides and the poorly crystalline minerals. And this is also dathionide, oxalate, and total. So we have a very wide range in terms of crystalline and poorly crystalline iron oxides that are mostly dominated by hematite. Hematite is the main iron oxides in the soils. Megamite is going to be present only in the soils that develop on basalts. Goethite is spread all over the state. The main mineral within the soil is kaolinite. Kaolinite ranges from 50%, somewhere over here, 57%, to more than 81% within the soils. The 2-to-1 clay minerals vary too, but they exist in all these soils. Here we go, the data from the remaining land. We did measure this in three soil to solution ratios, and this is the A horizon and the BW horizon. See, there are a lot of differences between the A horizon, especially for Prudentopolis and Palutena soils. This is an eutrophic soil, and this is a eutrophic tool with lots of 2-to-1 clay minerals. But the other ones, they are pretty much similar in the A horizon. But the B horizon, it's kind of a similar behavior for all of the soils. So we have something different in the A, but not in the Bs. Here we have some of the data of the lead maximum adsorption capacity. It ranges from 900 milligrams per kilogram in the BW from Ponta Grossa. This is a sandy soil, to almost 5,000. In the A horizon of Palutena. This is an eutrophic soil. So when we relate maximum distortion capacity with the remaining lead, we have a very good relationship. This is good because it takes a long time to measure this. And this is just one day measurement. So this is very good for us. So we can do a lot of work within the state with lots of more samples. And relating lead maximum distortion capacity and the chemistry and mineralogy and particle size of the soils, we got some very interesting features here. Like pH. As pH increases, we increase lead adsorption capacity. And also the cation exchange capacity, but not the aluminum. And the mineralogy also contributes to this maximum distortion capacity, especially megamite and hematite that are the guys over here, the total, the dithionite, and the poorly crystalline forms. So we have a kind of pH and cation exchange capacity affecting the lead adsorption, plus the iron oxides phase. Desorption measured after sorption in different pHs, it's kind of interesting because we measured that several times. This is in calcium chloride solution, so it's autosphere complex. It's a very small amount, especially for Palutena, where we have geotrophic soils. So it's kind of related to the chemistry of the A horizon again. When we go to Mellish-1 solution, that becomes more interesting. When we say inosphere complex, it's because Mellish-1 will extract some of the poorly crystalline iron. So it's removing poorly crystalline iron, aluminum, and the lead. And you see a very different behavior with these guys. I mean, if we have a plant, a root plant, exposed to this environment, lead will be dissolved or will go to solution or will be absorbed by the plant or even a person that may digest the soil for long periods within this soil from Palutena, but not this soil from Ponta Grossa. So what's going on is that, again, the iron oxides and the organic matter content. You see here some of bases related to the calcium chloride, opposite trend in Mellish-1 again, and mineralogy being controlled by magnemite and hematite, and no particle size affecting this correlation for the desorption of the soils. So as conclusions, desorption and desorption capacity were very variable among the lateral soils. The A horizon of all had greater affinity for lead than the B. The maximum desorption capacity ranged from 1,000 to more than 5,000 for the BW horizons. Minor amounts of lead were desorbed with calcium chloride solution. The larger amounts were desorbed with the Mellish 1. Lead desorbed by calcium chloride solution might be related to outer sphere complex, and those ones with the Mellish 1 might be related to the inner sphere complex. The main soil attributes that were correlated with desorption were pH, cation exchange capacity, some base V percent, phosphorus, carbon, and the minerals, magnemite, hematite, total iron, oxalate iron, and dathionite iron. I have some people that I want to acknowledge that pay my trip and my expenses here in U.S. Thank you very much. Questions? The next to the guy, it's going to be me again. Yes.
So I found it interesting that your correlations were better with magnemite and hematite than they were oxalate and spectral iron, which I would presume was had a greater surface area for sorption of lead.
Yes.
So I wonder if you have a comment or thought.
The problem is that the range for the oxalate iron is very small. And the range for hematite and magnemite is very big. I mean, we have plenty of soils with zero magnemite, and then we have like 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20%. So when you run a Pearson's correlation coefficient, they spread better in this kind of data. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's less. Less than.
I didn't quite see about the oxalate extraction was very low.
Yeah, they are.
That's some really.
Here you go. Here you go. It's
that's some crystalline
less than 1%. It's less than 1%.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, Sabine.
When you're saying that the malic extractable that was inner sphere absorbed, do you subtract off the other extractant that she said was outer sphere?
No, because it follows that reaction. We ran calcium chloride extraction for eight or 10 extractions, and then we started after that. So when it was almost zero, we start with the Mellish 1. It yeah, you're right. Because it's almost zero over that. And then it jumped. 1,000, just after. Yeah. So it's like 5-10% desorption with calcium chloride, over 90% with the Mellish 1 solution.
What methods do you use to identify the iron oxides and kaolite to that precision?
Oh yes, that takes a lot. Those guys work 1 year in those samples. We first separate the clay fraction, and then they run DCB to remove the iron oxides, quantify in the residues kaolinite and gibbsite by thermal analysis, and the 2-to-1 clay minerals. And then they run again for the clay fraction, a 5 molar sodium hydroxide boiling to concentrate the iron oxides, run again, XRDs, calculate areas and spacing and stuff, to calculate the amount. So, and then multiply by the total iron dissolved by the DCB treatment. They spend quite a lot of time doing that.
Thank you.
That's why people don't like mineralogy. Yeah. See, we are few guys here. Okay? Yeah.